Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits and our online service. I'm so glad that you've joined us today for this meeting. We are Living Beyond Limits, and I am Reverend Jennifer Speer. We are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living, and we're doing Zoom right now so that we can still be together and get to see each other and talk with each other while we are doing church at home again right now. And so I'm glad that you joined us today. And for those of you who are joining us later, I'm glad you joined us also. And so I'm going to begin this service by sharing with you our vision statement. And so if you know it, I invite you to join me in saying it. It goes like this. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that's what we are up to here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to awaken to our own divine nature, the presence of the infinite one that lives within us, that is the very nature of our spirit, of our soul. And to recognize all of those qualities and aspects of spirit, and if they are true about the divine God, the infinite one, that it is love and that it is peace and that it contains all wisdom, that means that those characteristics are inherent to our own being as well. And that means then as we awaken to that divine presence within us, that our motivations become different, the way we interact in the world becomes different, and our reliance on the world being a particular way in order for us to be okay dissipates. We discover our own wholeness and our own goodness and our own authentic power and our own peace within our hearts. And as we do that, then we come to the world differently. We actually come as a beneficial presence, as a healing presence, and we make a difference then. And not only are we participating in our own spiritual evolution, but we are also participating in the evolution of the collective humanity, because we are connected to everything and to everyone. And so I thank each and every single one of you for answering the call of your own spirit to be walking this path, to be giving way to that divine presence, and to be being a beneficial presence in this world. I thank you for that. And so as we begin our service this morning, our practitioner, Carol Borowick, is going to lead us in an evocation and do a contemplative reading for us. So welcome, Carol.
Let's just take a moment to become fully present right here and now. And as I turn within, I know that there is just one life, one creation that is expressing everywhere throughout all life, and that it is good, and that this life is for me and for every person. This life is the Creator expressing through unconditional love. We are made from unconditional love. Love is always the answer to any discord or disharmony. Love expresses as beauty and joy all of the things that we love. Love is expressing through us. And I know that as we experience this morning, I bless our time together in Reverend Jennifer's message as we learn more how to accept this unconditional love and how to allow it to express through us, that we are each blessed by this time together. And that we go from this time feeling lightened and with more understanding of the divine creation. So I just give thanks for everyone here today. And I know that our time together in this day unfolds perfectly. And I just say, thank you, God. And so it is. And so this morning, in keeping with Reverend Jennifer's topic, I chose a reading from 365 Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes. And it's titled, I Judge and Am Judged with the Justice of God. Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. While Jesus was the most compassionate of all people, he was also the most just, for he knew that our lives are governed by an exact and immutable law of cause and effect. We dare not wish anything for anyone that we would be unwilling to accept for ourselves. An earnest affirmation for this day is, infinite spirit within me, which is God, cause me to think and act kindly. Constrain my mind to gentleness and peace. Guide my thoughts into loving kindness and eternal forgiveness, and cause me in all my ways to follow the path of truth and justice. I judge no person and am judged by none. It is my sincere desire that everything I do or say or think will come into harmony with universal truth and peace, with love and joy. Consciously, I let go of everything that is unkind and seek to so enter into communion with the eternal spirit that I shall reflect to my environment and manifest in all that I do the spirit of kindness, of justice, and of compassion. And so it is.
And so it is. Thank you. That's really nice, Carol. And so welcome to our second week in our participation in the Season for Nonviolence. And so the Season for Nonviolence is a spiritual movement whose entire purpose is to create a culture of peace and nonviolence. And so last week, I talked about the importance of holding on to your highest vision for our country and for the world, regardless of what it is that's happening around us. We talked about looking deeper, looking beyond our prejudices and our stereotypes to those people that we do not see eye to eye with or that we don't agree with, to actually see that the situation, whatever it is actually more complex than what it is that we've been judging at the surface. And we talked about standing up for what is good and what is right and doing it from a soft heart. I know that all of us want peace. We want to have peace within ourselves. We want to have peace in our cities. We want to have peace in our country. We want to enjoy life and enjoy our own personal lives. We want to be able to live with freedom, the freedom to choose the life that we want to create, free from what has been in the past, so that we can actually be open to what is in the present moment and not stuck in the past. And so in light of that, today I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about forgiveness as a way to enable ourselves to be free. I'm talking about forgiveness, what it is and what it is not, and what it does for the person who does the forgiving. I know that as human beings, it can be really hard to forgive people because after all, what they did hurt us. What they did was wrong. And so we tend to then hold on to our anger and our resentment and our feelings that are hurt. we think that our unforgiveness is somehow going to punish the other person that we have not forgiven. And so we stay mad. In reality, though, here we are fuming, angry, and resentful, while that person that we are angry with is laying on the beach in Hawaii, watching a sunset and drinking a pina colada, and has absolutely no idea, is absolutely oblivious to our thoughts and our feelings and what's going on inside of us. So our holding on to unforgiveness doesn't really punish the other person at all, because we are the only ones that are experiencing those feelings. Gary Zukav said, forgiveness is not a moral issue. It's an energy dynamic. Forgiveness means that you do not carry the baggage of an experience. When you choose not to forgive, the experience that you do not forgive sticks with you. We also hold on to non-forgiveness out of a need to be right, out of a need to get even, because we think that our forgiveness is for the other person. We don't realize that the forgiveness is actually for ourselves. We don't realize that holding on to that unforgiveness has an impact on us. We don't realize that holding on to anger and resentment and hurt and feelings of vengeance affect us, has an impact on us. Even Ernest Holmes said thoughts of judgment, criticism, and condemnation must in time operate against the one who sets it in motion. It affects us. It comes back to us like a boomerang. Not forgiving causes depression. Not forgiving causes us to not sleep well. It causes us to have stomach problems. It causes us to not be free to live our lives in the moment and not to be able to be open to all of the gifts that are present in that moment for us. Studies actually show that forgiving lowers our risk of heart attack. It improves sleep. Forgiving lowers cholesterol and blood pressure. Forgiving reduces pain that we have in our bodies, and it reduces anxiety and depression and stress. So we talk a lot about forgiveness, but really sometimes aren't clear about exactly what forgiveness is. So what is forgiveness? And what is forgiveness not? Joan Borsinko says, forgiveness is a process through which we seek to free ourselves. Forgiveness is not the misguided act of condoning irresponsible, hurtful behavior, nor is a superficial turning of the other cheek that leaves us feeling victimized and martyred. Rather, it is the finishing of old business that allows us to experience the present, free from contamination of the past. Forgiving another person enables us to let go of the past so that we are no longer stuck in what happened. Forgiveness is not forgetting what happened. Forgiveness is not saying that what the other person did was okay. Forgiveness is not saying that you weren't hurt. Forgiveness is not saying that the pain is gone or that you are back to being the same person that you were before the incident happened. Forgiveness is not saying that what happened was not important. And it doesn't necessarily even mean reconciling with the other person. But often, I think we don't want to forgive because we think those things are exactly what it means to forgive someone. We think that forgiving someone means that whatever happened was really no big deal. We think that it means that there was no cause to the pain that we're feeling, or that they weren't at cause for that pain that we're feeling. But in fact, in order to really forgive someone, we actually have to recognize and honor our feelings of betrayal. We have to recognize and honor our grief and our anger and our hurt and our fear. We have to actually be with those feelings and feel those feelings, acknowledge those feelings, and honor those feelings. We have to allow them to be in us. Because what happened is real. And it takes honoring that and honoring ourselves. We have to allow ourselves to be with those feelings and to process ourselves through them so that we can reconcile that inside of ourselves. And sometimes that takes time. And sometimes it kind of takes a lot of time. Think about it. It's like, if I think about one of the most hurtful things would be for your spouse to be unfaithful. If your spouse were unfaithful, we have to recognize and feel those feelings inside of ourselves, acknowledge the feelings of betrayal and how hurt you feel and the damage that was created in the relationship. You have to feel those feelings before you can even decide if there is something worth salvaging in this relationship. You can't just move on like it never happened. It's only from there that you can actually decide if there's something that needs to change. Is there something that needs to change in you? Is there something that needs to change in the relationship? Is there something that needs to change in the other person that they're willing to change? Perhaps you need to have better communication in your relationship. Or perhaps there needs to be more honesty. Or perhaps you don't know how to speak the love language of your partner, and therefore you're not giving them the things that they need. Because maybe it's about you need to spend more time with that person. Maybe they need more of your attention. Maybe they need to feel like they are important and they're not feeling that. Or once you move through those feelings, really, has this relationship not been meeting your needs for a very long time and you weren't willing to acknowledge that or weren't willing to admit that to yourself? And this has caused you to step back and to look at that. That maybe it's time to stand on your own two feet or to start loving yourself more. Or maybe it's about standing up for yourself. But you have to feel the feelings and move through them before you can start looking at that stuff. And maybe it's something much more minor than your partner being unfaithful to you. Maybe your pals from work didn't invite you to go to dinner and they went to dinner without you. Acknowledging that you're hurt, acknowledging that you feel left out or that you feel not important, you have to be with those feelings a little bit. Because you can't learn whatever it is to learn from the situation if you don't acknowledge that something happened inside of you. It's there, a voice to get your attention. And afterwards, then you are free to determine what it is that you might need to learn or how it is that this situation is causing you to grow. You can ask yourself, why was I not invited? Is it because something like when I get together with the girls, I drink too much and then I get obnoxious and they don't want to be around that obnoxious personality? Or is it that I tend to take over the conversation because I have a need to be right and to be the authority and to tell people how it is? Or did it just happen as a last minute event and I wasn't around, so I wasn't invited? And the lesson is really for me not to take things personally. There's always something in there to assist you in growing, in learning, in standing in your own power, in unfolding something that has not yet been unfolded in you. But the thing is, if you forgive too quickly, if you just tell someone, oh, you're forgiven, I forgive you, and you haven't really done it without actually acknowledging your feelings, it's just a superficial forgiveness. And then what happens is that anger and that resentment is just kind of right under the surface, easy to be triggered again. It's kind of like burying the hatchet. You know, when you bury a hatchet, just the blade is underneath the dirt, but the handle's still sticking up. So that any time that handle is above the soil line, you can just grab it. It's ready to be picked up at the slightest provocation. Joan Chittister, in her book, In Search of Belief, said, real forgiveness relies on the full acknowledgement of the act that impaled the heart of the person, full knowledge of the motive, full acceptance of the human condition. I'm going to say that again. Real forgiveness relies on the acknowledgement of the act that impaled the heart of the person, full knowledge of the motive, and full acceptance of the human condition. Acknowledging the pain in my heart and the grief that I feel over what happened enables me to see how forgiveness is for me and not the other person. It enables me to see that the forgiving allows me to not be stuck in those feelings. It allows me to be free from all of that ickiness that's inside of me. When we acknowledge the motive, like your girlfriends went out after work without you because you just weren't there and it just happened, and it's really about not taking things personally. When you acknowledge the motive, whatever it was, it allows us to have compassion because it enables us to see through the other person's eyes of what happened. It doesn't mean having compassion for the other person that we're saying what happened was okay. But having compassion allows our heart to not be so rigid and for us to not have such a solid wall up so that we can experience our life and the joys of life to a greater degree. Recognizing the human condition allows me to see that we all make mistakes, that we all screw up, that we all hurt someone's feelings on occasion. And not just do we do that stuff one time, but we do it over and over again. It's just the nature of the human condition and of being a human on planet Earth. Even if we try not to, we still hurt someone's feelings and disappoint people. It's just the way things go. Reverend Nancy Collier says, forgiveness is a decision to let the past be what it was, to leave it as it is. Imperfect and not what we wish it had been. Forgiveness ultimately is about freedom. When we need someone else to change in order for us to be okay, we are a prisoner. And I'm going to read that one again. Forgiveness is a decision to let the past be what it was. It's a decision to leave it as it is. Imperfect and not what we wish it had been. Forgiveness ultimately is about freedom. When we need someone else to change in order for us to be okay, we are a prisoner. Not needing someone else to change in order for us to be okay. As long as we are reliant on someone else or something else changing to be okay, then we are still a victim. We place ourselves in that victim role. Forgiveness enables us to take responsibility for our own peace and our own well-being. It puts us in a place of personal power. Because as long as that person is responsible for our peace and our well-being, we are a victim to their whim, whatever it is they decide to do. Forgiveness means we quit telling ourselves the story over and over and over again about what they did and how we were hurt, how we were injured, that we quit telling ourselves all of the upsetting details about what it is that happened. Forgiveness frees us from our anger. It is accepting what happened without thinking that it might be different. Forgiveness is a conscious decision and choice to let go of our resentment, to let go of our vengeance, so that we can have peace in our hearts, so that we can be free to be the healing and beneficial presence that we are, so that we can be a force for good and a force for healing and a force for love. And so in review, we accept what happened, even though it wasn't what we wished for. We feel our feelings. We honor our feelings. We don't rush them. We let them be, and we allow ourselves to be with them so that we can move through them. And you recognize that your resentment and your anger and your rehashing what happened over and over again is only hurting you. It's not hurting the other person. And we let go of needing someone else to change, someone else to be different, so that we can be okay now in this moment, so that we can be okay today. And as a result of that, you will be free. Free to be the force for good, the force for healing, and the force for love that you already are. And so blessings to you as we walk this spiritual path, letting go of the things that don't serve our best life and stepping into and embracing the things that do, like forgiveness. So blessings to each of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so I recognize right now the presence of the Infinite One that is always right where we are, that infinite presence that surrounds us and envelops us, that presence that lives within us, and that presence that goes before us, that divine presence that called us and invited us to be here today so that our spirits might move back into that authentic place of peace and well-being. Recognizing that the very essence of this divine presence is love. We recognize that we are held in love, that we are supported by love, and that regardless of what has happened to us in our lives, that love is fully alive and awake and functioning within us. So today we let go of the darkness. We let go of our resentments and our rehashing of how we were wronged so that that light comes forward in a brighter way, in a fuller way, and in an easier way. And so we live in this state of grace, for we have already been forgiven by life itself, by that divine presence, and we reenact the presence of the divine as we forgive. We make space for mistakes and for frailties and for love. For in this openness, love can be given and love can be received. And so today we show up as conduits for that presence, to be a place of healing for this world, to be a place of good, to be a place of love. How good it is to be in awareness of this. And so I release this prayer into the creative law of the universe, knowing that it is the truth, and therefore it is expressing itself within us and all around us. And so I release this prayer and I invite you to join me in saying, and so it is. And so I love that you were all here today. It's so nice to be with you. I want to thank you for your continued support of Living Beyond Limits. We will be having our annual meeting coming up. We'll let you know, that kind of talks about how we've done this year and what's been going on and where we're headed in this coming year. So we will send out some notifications and I'll let you know about that probably next week when we have that planned. But thank you for your generous and continued support.